Welcome to episode 118 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's Tuesday, the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, Americans. That's right. For you Aussies, it's Tuesday. No fireworks for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And if you can't tell, my voice is still weird as fuck.
He's completely fingered, everyone. Yeah. Big and hard.
It's been a while. In fact, we should just disclose it right now. We're recording right back to back with last week, which means the show will be a little bit different today. We have a tiny recount, which sounds like I'm saying I have a tiny dick.
It does.
But apart from the fact that I do.
What about tiny dick?
It means we still did manage to get some listener feedback, though, because we are clever and we planned ahead. So what are we doing this week, Wayne, for episode 118?
It's our versus episode.
Part two.
Right, yeah. Bitch.
And we're doing 80s versus 90s action films.
Right.
So those who missed our first versus episode, which was Schwarzenegger versus Stallone, we crowned a king.
We did.
Today, we are crowning an era as the best of those two options. So
yes.
We have pulled every film that considers itself, or we consider to be, an action film from the 80s and 90s, and we are producing our top 10 list, and we'll talk to you more about what that actually means when we get to the countdown shortly. But by the end of today, you will know definitively, without question, no more discussion needed, what is the better era
for action movies.
Correct. Well, we shouldn't go any further, though, without acknowledging the third member of the countdown. That is one individual that we call the soundboard.
Oh, fuck this asshole.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's inconceivable this piece of shit is still hanging around like a bad fart.
Dare you, sir.
It's a piece
This
of
is
shit.
An integral member of the countdown,
it's
and
a piece
we
of shit.
Could not
it's
go any further shit. Without it.
Fuck this shit.
Blow it out your ass.
Delay ass bullshit crapness.
What delay ass? Sounded great.
It's
was
flaps.
Perfect.
It's flaps.
Well, enough about the soundboard, Wayne. What are we doing first?
We are going to have the recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount's where we hear what y'all had to say about all our shit. Paul, what did we get this week?
Well, as you might imagine, given that we are recording a mere minutes after finishing the last episode, we don't have much for the recount except this email from regular contributor, great friend of the show, Paul Sevilla, and it was his five top documentaries from last week. Here they are. Five, An Inconvenient Truth. Four, Hoop Dreams.
Yep.
Three, I Am Not Your Negro, a 2016 documentary about James Baldwin. Don't know what that one is.
I believe that was the inspiration for the I Am Not Your Guru title of the Tony Robbins one. That's all I know about it.
But in 2016?
Yeah, maybe not. Okay. I've heard of it anyway. I've heard of it.
Number two, Going Clear, the documentary about Scientology that was on both of our lists last week. And number one, Life Itself, a documentary about the life and death of movie critic Roger Ebert. Thank you so much for that, Paul. So, we can't announce who won last week's list.
That's okay. I'm unconcerned.
So, next week, we're one all. You might be going to be concerned given that one of us has to watch three films the other person picks at the end of the year.
If I'm winning, I'm massively concerned.
If you're winning, you're massively concerned?
Yes.
Please explain.
If I'm winning on the...
Oh, then you're going to bar up and get a bit like...
A little bit of that, yeah. Slap it around.
Well, we'll find out more next week on episode 119. We'll reveal both winners of this week and last week.
Blomp.
Okay, then. So, let's get straight into this week's first segment. It's a little something that we call Check It Out.
Fucking check it out! Check It Out is our movie news segment where we talk about shit we think you should check out. What do you got today, Paul?
I have the first reviews for a little film no one gives a shit about from Marvel called Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen it yet.
Of course, we haven't seen it yet. However, you will be seeing it very soon and before me. Here is what the embargo has been lifted, so the very first critic screenings have happened. And
what are they saying? What are they saying?
Jermaine Lussier had to say. Homecoming is a blast. It has the innocence that differentiates it from other MCU movies, but plenty of fun and spectacle too.
Excellent review. That seems quite promising.
And then from Chris Sylvia, Spider-Man Homecoming is your friendly, fun, Tony Stark-powered neighborhood Spider-Man movie.
That's absolutely fine with me, Tony Stark.
That worries me.
Nope. It's, you know what? The more Stark, the better, I say.
Disagree.
The more Stark, the better, man.
How can there be more Spider-Man? It's not fucking Tony Stark 4?
Oh, I think you'll find it is.
It shouldn't be.
I think it should be. Who gives a tits about Spider-Man? Yeah, who gives a fuck about Spider-Man, really?
Whoa.
Yet.
What do you have to say about The Sopranos?
Man, that thing is a fucking whole piece of shit. All right. No. Tony Stark works.
Say that again.
Okay.
You would rather Spider-Man Homecoming be about Tony Stark.
Yes. Let me tell you why. I already trust this Tony Stark.
Ought to be interesting.
I already know that I like Tony Stark. I already want to see him in more shit. We know we like some Spider-Mans, but we don't know how this one is. You know, it makes total sense for a studio to rely upon the proven content and the proven fucking, like, property to sell the next property.
Then call it Iron Man 4.
No. Civil War worked as Avengers 2 or 3 or whatever it worked out because it used the strength of all of its assets.
Does anyone else understand this?
Absolutely! I'm sure everyone's on board with this.
Inconceivable!
Asshole. The other... Yeah, this is it. This is fine. I want to go see another Tony Stark movie, but with the twist of Spider-Man. A Susan of red and blue. That's what I think would be cool about this, so that's what I'm looking forward to. More Stark, the better.
So you're suggesting this should be Tony Stark 1, Spider-Man 2? In terms of billing of importance?
I think what it should do is that it should start strong by giving me a lot of surety and certainty with the Tony Stark coolness and awesomeness, and then transition whilst, you know, peppering with Spider-Man to becoming a Spider-Man movie that's got a good, healthy slice of Stark on it. That's what I think would make me happy. And I think that's what they've done.
There's so many euphemisms in what you just said there.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of gay stuff going on in my head and on my pants. So it's fine with me. I am dead looking forward to that shit, man. What about you? Does this shit, is the fact that you heard that there's a lot of Stark in there all of a sudden making you pull up on
Look,
it?
Look, I knew there was going to be a lot of Stark in there, and it's always been, I've not looked forward to
this film. A good movie is a good movie.
Yeah, sure, but it's not a good Spider-Man movie if it doesn't have a lot of Spider-Man.
Nah, fuck that. If it's a good movie and there's Spider-Man in there enough to be satisfying, then that's the brass ring, son.
Spider-Man shouldn't be the icing on the cake. Spider-Man should be the cake.
We'll see. Plenty of shows like have done this thing and worked out really good.
Sure. Well, look, Marvel has a pretty good track record, not denying that for a second. All right, what's your news?
Well, we all know that the two directors who were directing Han Solo have been kicked off the goddamn project.
Absolutely.
And it's unfortunate, but obviously it's a bunch of stuff.
How do you feel about that, by the way?
Here's how I feel about it. This thing happened with Edgar Wright on fucking...
Ant-Man.
Someone has said to him, since that happened to you, if Disney had come to you and said... You finish this Han Solo movie, what would you say? He would say, hell no. He said, those two directors are friends of mine. I would never do that. Also, having been in that situation myself,
class.
Exactly, the idea of finishing someone else's movie is not something I would do on an ethical level. So that's pretty big.
Wasn't sure it was possible to love Edgar Wright anymore.
Right?
So it's just, but I do now.
He's a bit of a damn legend. And for his part, Ron Howard, who is, of course, the new announced director
correct
for the Solo movie, has said, I'm beyond grateful to add my voice to Star Wars universe after being a fan since, you know, like 77. I hope to honor the great work already done and help us deliver on the promise of a Han Solo film. But like, my point was that this kind of thing, this kicking off thing happened on, you know, Rogue One. And they had someone else finish the movie.
Tony Gilroy.
And it ended up being a fucking delight.
Yep.
So grateful. I think this could totally work.
Look, I'm not ringing the bells of disaster. It's just a shame because I think everyone who's seen Ant-Man wonders about the film that might have been had Edgar Wright directed it.
That's and it will be the same for this as well, yes. Because I love 21 Jump Street so much. If they made Han Solo a bit funny, fuck, I would love that. I would love it more than anything.
But let's not get into
this. This is the thing. Kathleen Kennedy, she's been doing this shit since the fucking day dot.
Correct. Right?
She knows what she's doing, man. Yep. She hasn't fucked up yet. Don't worry about it.
Well, you could
say that with the prequels.
Yes.
Understandable, but George was still there then, you know? This is really her show now. So I am not too worried about it. By the way, I just read also that the crew on the Han Solo movie have a t-shirt which says, you know, Solo movie. So it might be Solo. I'm not sure about the thing, about the actual title, but on the back of it, it all says, we shot first. I think that's pretty classy. That's pretty cool, right? That's kind of cool. Anyway, so that is my check it out.
That is our check it out for today. Without any further ado then, we're going to launch into this week's promo break, and then we'll be back with the big versus countdown.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast is a film comedy podcast with two best friends celebrating everything we love about going to the movies. We've got great beer, amazing guests, and quirky characters unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Well, I just assumed you were drinking that chocolate stout that you were going to make with the cheapest crap chocolate ice cream in a Miller Lite.
I remember being a young man and my mother telling me I didn't have a name because I was illegitimate. I don't know what that word means.
Subscribe to the Epic Film Guys on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you at the movies.
Hi, I'm Angry Man.
And I'm Gidget Von LaRue, and we have an 80s movie podcast called the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We talk and give trivia, well, just a little bit of trivia, on 80s movies that we both watched back in the 80s.
We cover all genres, including comedy, horror, drama, fantasy, musical, animation, action, and even film noir.
Yeah, we cover them all. So you can find us at theretrocinema.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Klopak, is that Slavic?
No!
Give us a listen.
Versus Part 2, where Wayne and I are going to crown the King Dick Action Era, 80s or 90s, by counting down from 10 to 1, the best films from those two pools. And the way it's going to work is how, Wayne?
Well, basically, we take our best action movies from the 80s, our best action movies from the 90s, compile them into one top 10 list, and the higher up the list you go, the more points you get. At the end, Paul does some geek shit where he tallies shit and adds a motherfucker, right? And then we'll find out, assigning a score to each decade for each person, which decade wins.
Not only for each person, for us combined.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's
because it's our show. The show will crown a winner. That's how we proceed.
That's right.
As much as I'd like to pretend that if I crown a winner, it should be it.
It's maybe, hardly ever the case, man.
It may be the way that Wayne does ruin that
well,
shit.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, this list was a bitch to put together because after you have your two sweet lists, fuck me, it's hard to put them in order. It's like one, the 80s. No, I know. I know that you've called into question my...
Oh, called into question.
My methods in the past. I actually went kind of a different way here.
Oh,
I went with
God.
You guys. I went with you guys. I just went, is this better than this? No, and I don't care what decade it comes from. And then how it turns out...
Precisely.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you. The other one had a whole situation. There's a lot of heart behind it, man. With this one as well, okay? The 80s gives you nostalgic boners. It gives you... The reason you like your 80s movies is because you remember how innocent you were when you saw them. You remember how wide-eyed the movie
was. So the irony
you.
Being that when you were innocent, you had boners?
Yes.
Okay.
Innocent boners. But then the 90s movies, okay, that's when you were a little...
Otherwise known as morning stiffies.
That's right. Morning glory. No, the 90s movies, that's when you saw that shit when you were older. You were wiser. You were less fucking easily impressed.
True.
And you... But you then you've got a bunch of nostalgia attached to that too. So which was your favorite era? I think it has a lot of bearing on which decade wins for you.
Mm.
For me, it's a very clear winner. Very clear winner, man.
Do you want to wait till the end to announce that, or do you want to say it now?
90s.
Okay.
90s for me.
I think I'm leaning 80s.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I think I'm leaning a little, but I'm so close. I can't. I'm not going to be upset one way or to other, and I honestly don't know, even on my list, which one wins, because it's not clear.
Yeah, see, the 90s were my heyday, man. Like, that's when shit started getting real. So, for me, it's that, but I get it. Hey, who knows? Let's see how it falls.
Let us see how it falls.
All right.
Can I add... This was fucking hard.
Yeah, man.
I grappled with what's an action film, what's not, what has action elements, what doesn't. And ultimately, when I included sort of one hybrid, I had to include the other hybrids. But I tried I tried to put the ones with the most action heavy, the best action. So if you're an action sci-fi, for example,
mm-hmm.
You fell a little bit further down the list.
I see how this works, and I find it weird. I find your methods as weird as you find mine.
Fine.
I mean, Paul gets tripped up with his own logic all the time.
No, Paul never gets tripped up with his own logic.
Oh, please.
Paul trips you up with his logic.
But he's also a cunt. So, it's, you know, it all evens out. which...
What? No!
What? Yes, man. What? Yes. All right. Who wants to go first?
You do.
All right.
Take us away. What's your number 10?
My number 10 is the movie Desperado.
It's on my list. A little higher, so therefore...
I see. Well, shit, though. I think this was... You see, I want to say it was a era-defining kind of thing, but it wasn't. There was nothing like Desperado. We hadn't really seen gunfights in the damn, what they called modern-day Mexico, but looked like old-school Mexico, right?
And all we had in El Mariachi, just knowing it was impressively.
But El Mariachi was in Mexico City. It was like modern and shit. It was in the city getting shot up and stuff like that. There was actually buildings and stuff. This one was all fucking dirt roads and fucking old-ass, whatever. So that was cool. But other than that, I mean, shit, we talk about it all the time, so I'm not going to crap on about it. But Desperado and the action scenes and the inventiveness and the fact that he only had it for $3 million or whatever we shot this thing on, fucking outstanding and will always be on my list. So Desperado.
Well, that's why it's on my list as well. So the 90s get their first entry with Desperado.
Boom.
90s get their second entry with a film that I love and, in fact, was extremely high on my list a couple of weeks back.
Mm?
It is the Wachowskis' The Matrix.
Not bad. Not on my list.
Number 10.
Not bad. But, oh, look, I can't say anything bad about The Matrix. It's fucking awesome. Everyone knows that. It is not on my list. But that's only because it got beat out by other crappers, you know, so...
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it anymore. I've crapped on about it enough.
Yes.
It's a fantastic film, and it has some of the best genre-defining action sequences that so many films have tried to emulate in the last 18 years. So that's why it's on my list. 1999's The Matrix at number 10.
Is bullet time passé now? I don't know that it is. I think I still like it.
Probably passé about 2004, yeah. If I'm really honest.
If you do it now, it's a renaissance because it's happening already.
Yeah, I think we've gone away from that. Largely, we have instead the Zack Snyder over-ramped.
Yes, that's what it is. The slow. Yeah, but you know what was cool about The Matrix, right? Is the fucking... When the bullet trails happened, it wasn't just kind of this, slow-moving bullet. It had those little pulses behind it. It just made it look sweet as fuck, man. So, big fan.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I concur.
Yes. My number 9 is an 80s movie.
Ooh.
The 80s movie is RoboCop.
Yeah, just dropped off my list. It would be my number 11.
It's like that. This list is like that, man. It can go up and down. But the RoboCop movie, so it's Paul Verhoeven, and I was still not used to his, I don't know, this was the first big blockbuster? I think it was, because I remember he had to shop it around Europe and then brought it to America, and then they said, fine, screw it, let's do it. It was R-rated, but it was really R-rated. Because the bit where... they blow up Murphy and, like, you know, basically shoot him to bits. That was the cruelest, baddest bad guy shit I had seen ever at that time. They were mocking him and playing with him as they shoot him and stuff. It was fucking traumatic. And then so made it the whole thing, like, a much harder, darker, kind of more real with the...
For sure. In any film where you hit a bloke and he explodes over the windscreen.
Yeah, I know! And he was, like, all messed up with the fucking chemicals and shit.
Yeah.
But even the fucking just shooting and whipping and putting your gun back into your thigh and shit, really well handled, I think. I mean, I'd buy that for $1.
Ironically, I deleted that off the soundboard not 1 hour ago.
That's why I said it.
This is controversial.
All right.
And it's controversial for a number of reasons. Well, two, specifically. One, because epic film guy Nick thinks this is the best Lethal Weapon. And I happen to agree with him. It's Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah, man. 2 is fucking awesome.
From 1989.
No doubt, man. No
Not
doubt.
Controversial from our angle then. What is controversial is on the So I Married a Movie Geek podcast's draft of the top 80s films, Nick picked this as the number one best 80s action film.
Is it? Did it happen in the 80s? What happened?
Well, it's 1989. But when we did our draft, the fantasy draft, in other words, you have every 80s film known to man.
Nick thinks this is number one.
The best action film, he says, of the 80s.
Ooh, hardcore.
Well, clearly it's not, because you have a higher 80s film
than
this.
Yeah.
I have 80s films higher on my list. Nick is wrong, but it is fun to take the piss out of it.
I see where this is going. Okay, got it. So, all right.
But it is a magnificent Lethal Weapon film, and I did war with, can I fit both on my list?
I had such a problem. It turns out no.
Certainly not
on my
3
list.
And 4. Forget that shit. Like
3 was shittest. 4 shit, was still
agreed,
good, though.
Agreed. 4 was better. 3 was the shittest. But 1 and 2 stand head and shoulders
is
above.
Is 2 better than 1? Obviously it is. If it's
I think
this.
So.
Okay, I think so too, because 2 was like it coming back and everything just got better. Patsy Kensit was hotter, fucking, like all kinds of shit happened, man. But it was just nuts good. Yeah, 2. 2 is definitely
with
the best.
With some incredibly quotable lines. Diplomatic immunity.
And then you cock your head, you aim.
Yep. Been revoked.
Yeah, yep. Good shit.
Yep. Or maybe it was shot first.
I think he fired then.
And then
said it
had just been revoked. Yes, correct. All right. Well, the 80s is leading early in our countdown. 4-2.
Shall we see?
Oh, we should have mentioned points are awarded inversely.
Yes.
So 10 gets 1 point, 1 gets 10 points.
Got it. All right. My number 8 is Con Air.
Also an honorable mention.
Okay.
For me.
So I don't know. Like, everyone's seen Con Air, sure. But the whole, was it Michael Bay? No, Simon West.
Simon West.
So his, but it was very Michael Bay-ish. That treatment of that whole thing with the rain at the beginning, and then he's calling out his wife's name in the dark after he stabbed that or killed that dude or whatever, that shit all starts, it's all orchestrated, but then it becomes this ridiculous, ridiculous, yet awesome fucking show with his stupid looking Nick Cage, and he's all beefcaked up. And
how dare you, sir?
He looks stupid with that fucking mullet, son. And then John Cusack, who I did still love at the time. I don't know, man. Even because of its ridiculous, it became popular, surely. Like, I don't know. It was...
Look, it embraces its cheesiness for sure. It
totally does.
And arguably, it's the most 80s action film in the 90s.
Yes, that's a really good call, actually, I would say. I don't know where... Like, even the Steve Buscemi parts and just the ensemble.
That was the genius.
That's what
film.
Made it play.
Let's get a whole bunch of big bad guys, and some of them are reprehensible. Like, you know, Danny Trejo playing Johnny 23.
Yeah.
And they called me Johnny 500. I knew the real truth.
I
like,
know.
That's disgraceful.
And then, like, you know, John Malkovich's like, I abhor racists, and I abhor rapists.
Yeah.
You know, and in your case, I'll make an exception. Whatever. You know, he was the best, like, bad guy ever.
Yeah, Cyrus the Virus.
He was the shit, man. Because it's John Malkovich's son.
Yep.
How'd they even get him to stand in this? Awesome. Awesome stuff.
Great cast. Great concept.
Yep.
Great fun.
Totally fake fun.
As much as it was violent and terrible and all the rest of it, but... Yeah, love this movie, and I was a hard thing to cull from my list as well.
I'll bet, man.
It made my 14.
Just had to hit my list. Con Air.
Great pick. This might surprise a few people.
Mm-hmm.
My number 8 is one of my favorite films of all time. It was my number 1 most rewatched film ever. It's Aliens, as directed by James Cameron.
Of course, this is on your list.
It's on my list. It's not higher than it is, though, because the action scenes are amazing, but...
It has an element of sci-fi. Subsequently, it depicts
totally
your list.
Totally
an
element of sci-fi. And I wasn't going to include it at all, but I was swayed at the last second by Joey from So Wizard Podcast.
You weren't going to include this?
I wasn't, because to me it's more a sci-fi kind of horror.
It's action like a motherfucker,
okay,
man.
Okay, well then, I'm glad it's on my list.
Yeah.
Is it on yours, Wayne?
No.
Oh my God.
It's not on my list. It's not on my list.
You just argued it is an action film. How is this not one of the best 10 action films in this era?
Oh, they were 7 better.
No, but 10 better?
Yeah,
it could have been anywhere on your list.
You're right. No, there were 10 better. Here's the thing. The Aliens thing. Look, I remember the time when this was popular. All the friends and the people I knew and the shit like that, they all knew. They all liked the element of you're trapped and there's monsters coming.
Yeah.
And it's a horror, kind of.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. That's why it's not horror on my list. But if you said, then you just said it's totally an action film.
It is totally an action film, but it's the elements of the action and so on were tinged with horror and this and that sort of thing. And you'll see as my list goes up, my movies get more fun. They don't get more dark, more
You're
harsh.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
I am not. It's like, fuck you, a shitty, shitty fucking soundboard. And it's, it doesn't hit my list for that reason. It's just, it's one of my favorites, but it had to make room.
For one of your favorites, it never makes it into a fucking list.
No, exactly. That's how tough this list was, man. It was fucking crazy.
Disgraceful.
No.
Let me just jump in to reiterate. It's only lower because what you're saying, there are other genres that very highly tinge it. There's not that much action, but when the action happens, it's amazing.
I find it odd that that's how... Like, I know... Basically, because you're saying that because your movie doesn't fit into the genre as well as a cleaner one, which may not be as enjoyable as Aliens, then you knock this one out.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't play like that, but I get that your brain works like that. So this is why we always have this problem, people.
That's why we always argue like
that's
old
right.
married people.
Bitches, too. All right. Well, my number 7, folks, is Beverly Hills Cop...
What year?
It was 1980. It's in the 80s.
Really?
Yes. Now, everyone's going to have a little pisser about this, I'm sure.
Maybe not everyone, just me.
Okay. Do you think because it shouldn't even be in there, or Beverly Hills Cop 1 was better?
I don't think the Beverly Hills Cops are the best.
You are kidding me. That is fucking the 80s, man.
It's a comedy.
Beverly Hills
it's
Cop,
a comedy more
Miami
than
Vice.
Action.
Oh, dude. I saw... Look, perhaps there's some externals at play here because I did see Beverly Hills Cop 2 with my dad at some advanced screening.
All right.
But even without that, right, it was a much slicker version of Beverly Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop, the first one, was just charming as fuck, okay? It's a great fucking movie. Foul-mouthed leading actor, all this, making a bunch of 80s, like, racist jokes. Fantastic, right? Great stuff. Beverly's Cop 2 is the amp of all of that shit. Everything was cleaner. There was more production value, but it was, you know, there's more arms, and they made Billy a character, and all this kind of shit was like, I don't know, I just had the best time in this fucking movie. And there was 80s titties in it, too. There's always 80s titties.
How do 80s titties differ from 90s titties?
80s titties, right, are very white. They're really white because the 80s chicks didn't really do a lot of suntanning. No, they're all white women, right? Don't get me wrong. But the titties themselves are quite white and very pink. And also, they're seen through like usually she's in a car and she gets up and, oh, there's a woman with titties in there. It's just for a flash. And then they cut it out, you know? That stuff happens. In the 90s, people started tanning more. There was
I want you to listen back to this bit of the podcast and have a long, hard think about yourself.
No, I know exactly the answer to the question you asked. There was a stark difference between 80s and 90s titty. And don't even get me started on naughty's titty. There's a whole different section going on there. We'll have a podcast on that sometime.
Top 10 titties?
Yeah, I'm sure that will go great for me. That would just go great for me. Of course not! but that's my call. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
We'd have to do 20 films. No, wait, five films.
Oh, shit. Paul's had a few beers, everyone.
Sorry, that was awful.
No, it's fine. Fuck it.
Okay.
Nice.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Two, man. I love it.
Okay, well, my number 7 is the aforementioned Desperado. So we're moving swinging straight back to you. And I'll give you a score update as we move into our number 6s.
Mm-hmm.
90s at 9 points. 80s at 11
points. Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry, man. This thing's going my way, I'm telling you. All right, man. My number 6 is Point Break.
Course
Point Break's fucking awesome. Yeah. I can watch it anytime.
Once again, on my 14 list, didn't quite make it.
Sure. I get it. Everyone was Point Break. I'm not going to talk about it. Let's go to you.
All right. Well, my number 6 is a film I wonder if it will make your list. It's from 1990. So it falls just into the era of the 90s, if we're being technical. It's another Paul Verhoeven piece. It is Total Recall.
Yep. You know, it's not on my list, but I feel bad about it. Like, it should be on my list. It just kind of got not shuffled around. Total Recall, I don't know. For me, it was the start of a new type of movie in that era. It was like kind of with all this, like, it was just so expensive, obviously, and it was so harsh, and people getting stuck in faces and three-titted women and stuff like that. I remember thinking it was kind of just, I don't know, the movies changed after that.
Well, to some degree, it did. First of all, it was... Again, as we have discovered, Paul Verhoeven's
weird, slightly Euro kind of
hyper violent. Yeah, I think we talked about it on a very early episode of the podcast. This was the first film that was released to video in Australia with 2 ratings.
Really?
So they released it unaltered as R. Now our R here is 18+.
Yeah,
you cannot see it unless you're 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a guardian. No, even then you're not allowed in there.
Yeah.
M back then was
like 15+.
15+, but recommended.
Yes. That's right. MA, yeah.
So they then they made
MA, yeah, exactly.
This was R and M, I think.
Mm.
M cut, you could go and hire if you wanted to. R, you had to have your parents with you who would get it for you.
Mm, I remember this now. Yeah. And I can't remember what the difference was between it. Obviously, they'd hacked out.
They hacked out the worst of it. So there's a scene where he's on escalators and he grabs some dude as a human shield.
Yeah,
like 60 bullets pumped into him.
Yes.
That is completely cut from the M-rated version. So it's memorable just for that, as opposed to how amazing the film is overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. We argue to the end of time about what it actually means. That's irrelevant to this. I think it should be on this list. I think it is one of the best 10 films, action films from this era. Clearly, you disagree.
Nah,
it's a shame.
I don't really disagree. It just didn't fall that way for me. But either way, I'll see you at the party, Richter. My number 5, everyone, is The Untouchables. Brittling. Yeah. That went off better than I expected it to, so fair enough. Well,
I'm in two minds, but I should just cut over the actual music bit.
No, I kind of like that one. All right. The Untouchables was the Brian De Palma flick when he was good, and it had Bobby De Niro, and it had fucking Kevin Costner, and it was the first time I saw a gangster movie that had gore and blood and brains in it.
Amazing
man.
Film. My only qualm, and the reason it's not on my list, I don't think it's action enough.
It's action movie. You're saying it's more gangster?
I think it's a gangster crime drama.
Yeah, I understand. But
and
you know
then
what
a very
is?
Distant fourth action.
Really?
Because it has one action beat in it.
The slow-mo scene.
Yeah.
But It's people getting shot and shit. Then when
they're doing the riding on the bridge and the shooting and that. Really...
Yeah, I think you could get there with an action movie here, but I guess I'm not saying
it's not classified as that way. I just don't think it's action enough.
I think the push then, the reason that it turns up on my list is that it is the movie that affected me in the 80s. It's probably like, I don't know, if I think of 80s action or anything that was like the 80s movies, this, I can't escape that this one changed me and my view on action.
Yeah.
Especially with the slow-mo and all that sort of shit, it was...
It's iconic, it's different, it's amazing, beautifully directed. I'm not denying any of it.
I know, you're saying it's not quite action.
Yeah, and fine. Like it would be on my list of favorite films.
Of the 80s.
Oh, for sure.
Sure, okay.
So I'm not having a go, I'm just like, that's why. All I'll do is explain why it's not on my list.
Understandable, for me, yeah, it's an action great.
Okay. Fantastic. My number five is a film I know won't be on your list. It bloody well should be, because there is no better. That's a strong statement. There's no better Asian cinema action film of this era. It's Hard Boiled.
Yeah. Okay.
Directed by John Woo. The Killer. There's a lot of love for The Killer. And if you want to interchangeably change this for this, fair enough. I will support you in that. Hard Boiled is a fucking amazing.
See.
How is this not on any list of yours?
Because the sensibility of Asian cinema, Hong Kong cinema, stuff like that is different, okay? And when you talk to me about 80s or 90s movies, to be honest with you, I don't really consider them. It's its own genre, which is Asian cinema. It's not. It may have been done in the 80s or the 90s.
You're a lacist.
Yeah, I'm a lacist. No, I'm not. I'm half Ching Chong, everyone. So it's fine. I can say it. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, and Paul's baby mom was a Ching Chong, so it's fine too. We're all fine here. We're all... What's up, Patsy? I love you. All right. So.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
So that's why it doesn't turn up for me. It's separate to this. It just doesn't. I know you could argue your fucking lawyer speak all you want.
It's in the 90s. It's an action film. There's no lawyer speak. You're just being a dick.
It's just not in my head, man. To me, it's a whole thing.
God damn it.
I've seen the Spanish films in either, man. It's all good. It's fine. But.
It hurts.
It doesn't hurt. You're just a bitch. Your bitch ass hurt, bitch
buddy,
hurt.
You are fucking moron.
You're a piece of shithole. All
right. Oh, God. All right. Come on, then. Your number four.
My number four is Leon the Professional. Yeah. In the 90s, son.
Excellent.
In the 90s.
Thriller.
Right? It's not fair. Dude, he took out tons and tons of people.
In one scene.
In the first scene, he took out all the henchmen. In the second scenes, he was like, there was fucking Gary Oldman blowing away a whole family, including a kid. And then, at the end, it was all action. Forget about it. This is not a drama. It is an action movie. Fuck you. You don't get this one. You fucking
drama. It's
bitch.
A thriller.
It is a fucking action movie.
With an action scene.
Suck my dick. 3 to 4 action scenes, major ones, made up big parts of it.
Four?
I think there's four.
Where'd you get three from?
Let me see. There was a kill that went through, let's see, was it Gary Oldman, the first one, and the last one? Yeah, maybe three. But you know what? Three awesome ones. It's an action movie. All right. We marveled at the action in this movie. It's not an action movie.
There's a magnificent action scene, I'm not denying.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Equilibrium is an action movie?
Way more than this film.
Fuck you. Equilibrium has had excellent action within a good drama. So just like this one, it's an action movie. Fuck
Way more than this film.
Fuck you, cunt.
Dynamite drop in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
Fuck you.
Been too long. Thanks, Bob Uecker.
Fuck off, Bob. All right. What's your number, four?
My number four is not going to be on list. And yet, with your ridiculous assertions that these films that you are pimping as action films, how can this one not be on there?
All right, Dick. Let's hear it.
It's Predator.
Yeah, nah.
Oh!
Yeah, nah. No.
Damn it, Wayne.
All right. I'm not saying it ain't one of the best actions out there. It's just... I think also, much like Aliens, because this is Paul's jam, everyone. The movie where everyone dies except maybe one person, or even just everyone dies, is even better, right? That's his fucking shit, man, okay? He will go towards any movie like that, and that's why...
Not true.
No, it's absolutely true.
Are you denying that the amazing characters in this film, to say nothing of the amazing quotes, to say nothing of the amazing action sequences, to say nothing of the amazing end battle scene between Dutch and the Predator, to say nothing of... just how fucking cool the Predator is. Does none of that echo in your very small brain?
It does, but here's the problem. They all died, man.
Not all of them.
Just Arnie. That's it.
And the chick.
It's fucking... It's. I don't like it when everyone dies, man. You do, because you're a cunt. But for me, it's like, it's kind of a bummer. It actually puts a spin on. And don't get me wrong, they all had to die for the movie to be good and to be impactful and all that
Correct.
Sort of thing.
Correct.
Yes, but that doesn't mean... That doesn't mean like...
Because at the end, if there was six of them fucking squaring off against a predator, doesn't not impactful.
I know, and I understand that's how it had to go, but it doesn't mean that I enjoy it as much as it when it's like a happier tone. You'll see from the next ones on my
list. If I could reach Wayne, I would slap him for you, listeners.
Oh, please, please, please. It's, look, but I'm saying, Predator is the shit. There's no question that it's the shit. It just didn't hit the list. So, you know, not everyone likes to suck on his dick like Paul. A lot of people do, but not everyone.
I'm disappointed. I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Well, you know what you also are? Is a bitch. So, fuck you. And what's your number fucking...
Oh, your number three.
Three. Oh, yeah, my number three is Tango and Cash.
Oh,
all right.
With a big shout out to Warren G, who was like, can you guys stop sucking Tango and Cash?
Oh, really? Is that what he said? No, man. Tango and Cash. Listen, man. Listen, listen. If you don't get it, I can't help you. All right.
80s.
80s, okay. Big time. Actually, yes, it was 80s. Yes. Yes, Paul and I became friends over this movie, FUBAR and whatnot. But other than that, the Axel F type score from Faltermeyer and all that sort of shit made it. It's actually late 80s. It actually could almost get into the 90s for me, but it's. Just either
you
way,
you can't change when it was released.
No, it's sorry, an
80s.
I'm
film.
Saying it feels like a 90s to me.
Well, I mean, obviously, like Total Recall might be an 80s film exactly. In some ways. That obviously there's that crossover where they're a little bit blending, but nevertheless, yes. Look, I like Tango and Cash. We did it for a Rewind Be Kind review. Did enjoy it a great deal. Didn't enjoy it as much as back in the day, but indisputably, the reason this podcast is happening is because of that.
Absolutely.
Film.
So it's gonna have to hit my list.
My number three. Is going to be on your list.
Okay.
And if it's not, I'm going to hang up these headphones.
I gotta say, I know what it is. I know what it is.
I'm picking up my two beers.
Right.
And I'm walking out of the studio. I'm going home to have a long, hard think about this podcast.
Fine. I'll have a spank and a nap.
It is another Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
Sure, man. I know what you're going to say.
It's James Cameron's
True
Lies.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, motherfucker. That's my number fucking two.
All right. Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Look, this is a revisiting.
It can't be not on this list, man. It's got to be on this list. I wanted to kick it off because I like, let's make some room for new people. And no, this is just has to be there. So that was my number two. That's your number three, was it?
That was my number three.
Wow. So what's your number two?
My number two is... Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah, look, not on my list. And here's why the recency or something didn't really, like, it's...
For the record, mouth agape.
Yeah, there's a top sort of 20 and it would be in there. It just didn't sneak into the fucking top 10. Again, I loved it, can't deny it. It's awesome and probably one of the best action movies ever made. Just not on this list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 is arguably... Along with Aliens, the two best sequels ever made, both by obviously James Cameron. It is a perfect elaboration on the first Terminator film.
Absolutely.
I believe it surpasses it in every way, to say nothing of the still holds up special effects 26 years later.
Plus,
that is just incredible.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other film that looks that good 26 years after release?
Nah, but James Cameron is James Cameron, man. Like, this is like, when I heard that Arnie was going to be the good guy in this movie, it made me want to watch it even more. And it was a good move.
If you're going to pick on James Cameron, you pick on him for his writing.
Right? Yeah? What did you write?
Like Avatar, for example. The film's not great. It looks amazing.
It's still enjoyable, man. I love that movie.
Looks amazing. And the action set pieces towards the end are pretty incredible. But the writing to get you there is extremely derivative and average. But this film, which I think he wrote with another guy, William Wishart or something, I'm not even looking at that, is perfect.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I could agree with that.
So this is arguably a flawless movie in a number of different ways. Like, they went down William Wishart. Yeah. Junior, not William Wishart.
Edward Furlong is a bit annoying.
That's the only thing. That's what takes... You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So that's why, for me, it's a 4.5 star film versus a 5 star film. But if you had a less annoying Edward Furlong,
this
would be a 5 starer.
Good point. No, fair enough.
Do you feel bad about it not being on your list?
No. I'm quite firm in my decisions. And also, I know you're a bitch, so that's fine with me.
What are you, a fucking moron?
Fucking soundboard. Sack of shit. Okay,
All right, we are down to number ones, but we now need to, as we meant to do last episode, and forgot, recap Alice to this point with thanks to listener James Spence for the suggestion. Wayne, what is your 10 through 2? Then I'll do my 10 through 2, and then we'll announce our number ones.
Word. My number 10, Desperado, then RoboCop, Con Air, Beverly Hills Cop, Point Break, The Untouchables. Number 4 was The Professional. Number 3 was Tango and Cash. 2, True Lies.
All right, my number 10 was The Matrix, 9, Lethal Weapon 2, 8, Alien, 7, Desperado, 6, Total Recall, 5, The Great John Woo Masterpiece, Hard Boiled, 4, Predator, 3, True Lies, 2, another Arnie vehicle, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Wayne, what is your number one action film from the 80s or the 90s?
Speaking of John Woo masterpieces, my number one movie, Face Off.
Wow.
Yep.
Holy shit.
I love it more than like any of these.
I am blown away.
Here's why I liked it, okay? When Face Off came out, we didn't think any of it would work, but the whole thing was cool. Then it turns out the whole movie worked wonderfully. And I remember even talking to you guys afterwards saying, there's only one like shovel they fed the bullshit machine in this movie. And that is, how did Nicolas Cage get off the fucking like floating prison rig and back to fucking civilization so easily? I guess he probably stole a boat or something, but that's the only thing they didn't really explain. Everything else, even though it was like outlandish at the time that I could swap your face and all that sort of shit, was enough and good enough to keep you on board. And then the two leads mimicking each other made the whole thing fun. And even Nicolas Cage's prick dickhead character or whatever, you get to see him...
Caster Troy.
So then when he becomes Sean Archer and then actually ends up helping his daughter and being a cool dad and stuff like that, you see an element
of... Stick it in his leg.
Yeah, that's right.
Twist.
Exactly. That was the... I was looking for that butterfly knife everywhere. You can't get it. It was like a wavy... It was fucking fantastic.
Right, I don't have the wavy one.
No, it was cool. Yeah. It was cool. So, yes, but the fucking Face-Off is just so enjoyable. Such a great time at the movies. I've seen it over and fucking over again, and it's great each time. And even the Nicolas Cage suck my tongue weirdness thing played well. Like, it played, is what it did. And it, not so much him grabbing the young girl's
ass
and then coming, but other than that, it was fucking... I love it. That's my number one. Yeah, my number one.
Wow. Okay. Look,
of a surprise, I know.
It was in my honorable mentions. It just got jettisoned off my list.
Sure.
I'm kind of blown away. That's your favorite action film from this 20-year period.
Yeah, it is. I thought about it over and over, and I just don't have as good a time in any other show.
Okay.
There it is.
It's a personal list. I get it. You're wrong.
Uh-huh. What's your number one? Fuck face.
My number one, incredibly, has not even been mentioned today. Not even by you in a kind of... happening,
wistful
stance,
way,
passing.
What's it going to be? Actually, wait. Tell me first which decade it is from.
80s.
Ooh, shit. All right. I think I know what it is.
It's a John McTiernan film.
Damn it, it's not that one. Oh, of course. It's
the Bruce
one.
Willis starring Die Hard.
Yep,
how have we not talked about any Die Hard film? 1, 2, and 3. Okay, 2, forget that. But 1 and 3 were
wait,
out.
Wait, 3
movie.
Was shit.
What?
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yes.
With Sam Jackson?
Yes.
That's fucking shit. With Jeremy Irons? That one was shit.
I'm not going to brag.
Number 2 was better.
Jesus.
2 was better with the fucking thing that was cool. No, what? No one. You don't think that? You shit. Shit.
I learned my lesson 2 weeks ago that I can't like just rag on you for being wrong. But damn.
I thought Die Hard with Timothy Olyphant was better than number 3. Remember that one? The cyber one? I thought that was great. That was a great movie. Yeah. Paul's giving me a look, everyone.
Die Hard 4.0?
Yeah, that one. That one was great. That was better than 3. How is 3 good? They're making fucking solving problems around the fucking city by pouring shit and water into jugs. Fucking shit, man. Fucking shit. No, 4 was better because it played out. 5 was shit.
Forward your hate mail to thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Please address it, dear Wayne.
I'm sure this is a commonly held view by many out there. I'm sure.
Nobody in the world likes Die Hard. This is a Rocky 5 call. This is insane in the membrane. Insane in the membrane.
No.
Again.
When Die Hard 2 came out, it was all the same shit, but it was at an airport.
Look, Die Hard 2 is average as fuck. I'm not arguing that.
No, I like Die Hard 2 better than 3.
Oh,
that was my point.
God.
Oh, no, it was fine, man. I'm sure everyone thought this. I thought everyone hated Die Hard 3. No? Wow. News to me, people. News to me. I don't even understand.
Maybe I'm wrong. Clearly, I was wrong a couple of weeks back. Maybe my finger is again so far from the pulse. So I'm just going to deride you from my personal opinion. not from the wider audience over.
Okay.
Let us know. What's the best Die Hard? Other than the first.
It's probably one, yes, one.
Because we all agree it's the first. Please tell me you don't think
no, four. The first is the best one. Thank no doubt, Boo. God. No doubt, no doubt. But I think section two is the second.
Wait, what's better, the second or the fourth?
The second.
Where's the fifth rank?
Oh, the fifth is right there on the bottom.
Okay, thank God.
Actually, wait. I can't remember the second well enough to fight this one, but no, I think second was better. Second.
So
one, it's one, two, four, three, five. Wow. That's it.
You heard it, they're here first.
I was assuming this is what everyone thought.
Right now, Rennie Harlan is booking a flight to Australia just so we can meet you in person and shake your hand.
Did Harlan do three?
Two.
Just two? Yeah, I like two.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's coming.
I like Cliffhanger too. I mean, not
John McTiernan is hiring fucking
he's got Hitman going on. All right, fair enough.
But Die Hard 1.
Yes, look, Die Hard 1 is the shizzle. That's no doubt.
Die Hard 1 is incredible. It is...
David Addison was the shit.
Stunning that it's not on your list, Wayne.
Yeah, it's just that it wasn't as prominent in my head as these other ones that I remember being a younger, more innocent man.
More prominent do you need? He stands on... Oh, yeah. So many iconic moments.
The building. The jumping off the building.
Yes, the jumping off the building. That is definitely the big moment from the trailer and whatever else.
You know that trick was done in Crocodile Dundee? Right before that movie came out, Mick Dundee did that. I'm not kidding.
He tied a fucking
and he jumped around. But I'm not saying, like, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying that was interesting.
Did the helicopter flamingly fall past?
There was no explosion. He just jumped off and went through a window.
And then drag him out the window.
No, that part didn't. Yeah, that was all better. So, okay. No, look, I understand.
Did Crocodile Dundee have Alan Rickman as the bad guy?
He did not. No, he did not.
Hans Gruber. No.
No, Hans Gruber at all. So, you know.
Did it have the ballet dude as the foil, the big physical threat in the film?
The ballet dude?
Did it have Ellis?
No, nothing has Ellis. Ellis is awesome.
Did it have Alan Rickman pretending to be Bill Clay? Did it have the bit where he's in the boardroom? He's like, next time I have the chance to shoot someone, take it.
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
Thanks for the advice, pal.
You know, maybe this should have gone on my list.
Oh, Jesus All right. Christ. Hallelujah.
But it wouldn't have, like, it would have been like down the bottom.
It would have been on there and I could have screamed low.
Look, this isn't the top. I told you.
I could have left here today happy.
I could do a top 20 and this thing's on there too. Oh, all right. God. So, you know, shit. Damn. Word. Damn. So.
Die Hard. Best film, action film of the 80s or 90s. Not on Wayne's list.
Well, now I'm very curious to see which decade won. I know which corner I'm in.
Well, you're clearly 90s.
Totally.
Right. And I was actually 80s. So just shout out to listeners at home. When you vote for this poll, just remember, Paul's even though
bitch.
I might have had
Paul's
more.
A bitch. Fucking drunken asshole.
Stone cut.
Yeah.
Here it is then. We're about to crown the winner. Who is the best 80s or 90s? And I have to say the listener community was absolutely in the 80s corner.
Were they?
Yep.
No, I get it. I get
more
it.
Like it is we're much go cooler through a bunch 90s. Of it in a second, but yes, definitely 80s won landslide.
Okay.
The 80s scored 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s scored 68 points.
What up, dog?
So as much as my heart doesn't agree with it, I have to honor
man.
The system.
Yeah,
and
dog.
The system says
90 gonna win.
The 90s action films win.
Wow, we should totally play Sugar Ray or something very 90s over this.
Done.
Sold.
Someday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every morning when your mother sucks my penis. Yeah, I know, that was a good song too.
All right, look, we heard all my honorable mentions through the list. Any from you that we didn't get to?
I'd just like to point out a few of the ones that like no one would pick just for fun because I like them. They were on my short list, but not the shortest short list. So it was like, I actually thought about, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, but you'd say they had more action.
Well, no, the only reason it didn't make it was, adventure, absolutely. Action, but totally could see that on there, yes?
Yeah, Lethal Weapon 2 was on my list. I had Temple of Doom on there.
No one had that on there.
Yeah, I know, everyone hates it but me. The Last Dragon is a weird 80s movie, which was cool for its time.
Okay.
Under Siege, The Rock.
Under Siege, The Rock, yeah, for sure. You know, The Rock was probably my 15.
Yeah, Mission Impossible, GoldenEye. Mission Impossible, I'm surprised I didn't hear Starship Troopers from you. That's more sci-fi.
It got more and more towards sci-fi, and I had to draw the line somewhere.
And a cool one from the 90s that no one also likes is Universal Soldier. I liked that movie. Yeah, Van Damme.
I get it.
It was kind of cool. Yep. So there you go.
All right. All right, as I said, all my honorable mentions have been mentioned. To then the listener feedback.
Listener feedback!
Troy Spinner, one of the hosts of the Comic Confidential podcast, a magnificent Australian podcast. Awesome topic, man. And while it's like choosing your favorite child, titles like Die Hard, Aliens, Big Trouble in Little China,
yeah,
Lethal Weapon, and Predator, brackets, I could go on forever, will always have me saying the 80s is the best action decade.
All right, in for ever. The 80s there, sure.
Adam Higgins, one of the hosts of the Odd Dad Out podcast. That's tough because a lot of action franchises started in the 80s and continued to rule the scene in the 90s.
Sure. Yes.
So he said, see Troy's comment above, I'm stumped.
Tough.
And as I mentioned, Joey DeCarlo said, my first instinct was just to say the 80s. Then I realized Rumble in the Bronx, The Last Kiss Goodnight, and T2, all 90s. I'm at a loss.
Rumble in the Bronx? Is that a Jackie Chan one?
It is a Jackie Chan one. You're right. James Spencer was totally on your side. Fucking 90s, man. Point Blank, Face Off, The Matrix, Jurassic Park, and T2.
T2,
so,
yeah.
Jurassic Park,
I know. You would not let that happen, but yeah.
Gerald Morris, the host of the Two Peas in a Podcast, 90s all day, True Lies, Point Break, T2, Boom. Matrix, Air Force One, Bad Boys, and ID4.
I secretly love Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2.
Justin Winters, one of the hosts of So Married, a Movie Geek podcast, our Movie Pod Squad Network bros. 80s, definitely. Wait, which decade had The Saint again?
90s. I think. No, 90s.
Good little throwback there to a controversy on a previous episode.
Yarda, yarda.
Sai Wazow just went 80s, and he just listed three whole messages of just 80s films. And I'm just going to give you a sample. 1981, Escape to Victory. 1982, Rocky III. 1982, First Blood. 1983, Staying Alive. 1984, Rhinestone.
I think I'm getting it.
And it went on and on and on. And I was like, so you're saying the 90s?
Yeah, groundswell for the 80s, okay.
Then to Twitter, Chewbasha said, between the Indiana Jones trilogy, Big Trouble, Die Hard, and Predator, and I would argue Batman, it has to be the 80s.
Batman's so, a strong one there.
Who spiked the puns? After thinking about this for half a second, it's the 80s. 90s action was playing catch-up and could never quite capture the magic.
I don't know, but sure.
Well, Darth Sean said also, 80s takes just slightly. Escape from New York, Predator, Terminator, First Blood, Robocop, Die Hard, Raiders Lost Ark. Gave the big thumbs up signal there.
I'm surprised Escape from New York didn't hit anywhere for you.
Yeah, I considered it.
You're more The Thing and that's sci-fi. Yeah, I get it.
Well, that's definitely more a horror. It's definitely not an action film. Amanda's Pick Show, Go-Go.
It is an action film. The Thing is totally an action film.
No, it's not.
How is it not an action film?
It's a horror.
It's horror, action, sci-fi.
No, there's no action.
There was guns and shooting and shit and flamethrowers, bitch.
Shooting and don't equal action.
I think you'll find it does. It is absolutely what action is.
Can we just pause?
There's an action component. There's an action component to it. You said this action-ish movie. Yeah, totally. Thing. Yeah, sure. Sure. Hacking stuff. Yeah, action.
Just because you pull a gun out doesn't mean it's an action film.
No, but in this level, like this amount of guns. No, that's a thriller.
Because he pulls a gun out a couple of times.
Yeah, but there's one. These people shoot all the time. They flamethrow stuff.
All the time?
I'm pretty sure it's action-esque.
Drugs.
Fuck off.
Off them.
Ah, shit.
Amanda's Pick Show, Go-Go. Die Hard, Indiana Jones, Empire Strikes Back seals it for me. 80s.
Sure.
Sudden Double Deep just said, so it's Die Hard versus The Matrix then? Which is
comparison.
Both on my list. Yeah. Via VHS podcast, again from our Movie Pod Squad network. So Wes said Lethal Weapon and Die Hard were both at their best in the 80s. But the 90s had T2,
that's right.
I don't know.
Yes.
This is really tall.
No, it's fucking tough.
And I think our scoreline is wrong. I think it should be way closer than it actually turned out to be. But anyway, Besotted Geek said 80s and it's not even close. Sorry. So, sure enough, John, one of the hosts of the Now in Technicolor podcast, again, Movie Pod Squad Network, bro, I would have to go with the 80s for this one. A lot more really great action films in this decade. Saturday Detention, 80s is going to slaughter 90s.
Saturday Detention is going to have the 80s back, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you might see them at Supernova.
Ah, yes. Comic Con, everyone. I'm
Scribbitry
going.
Had your back, Wayne. 90s action rocks. Con Air, T2, Demolition Man, Air Force One, Speed, True Lies, Fifth Element. What the fuck?
Fifth Element's fucking great, man. Fifth Element almost made my list, son. It's. Well, you don't like the Fifth Element? Man, it's us.
You
mate.
Know
you got,
I don't like
You got that problem with that fucking director, I see.
And Jurassic Park. Thank you. Thank you, Scribadry. Gareth Thomas just said, Die Hard, dot, dot, dot. Brentley Oliver said, the 90s, they have The Matrix. Who Am I? And Independence Day. What is Who Am I?
I don't know. What's that? I don't
Brentley,
know.
Enlighten us, please.
Yes, man.
Super Movie Bros, 80s all fucking day. 90s was a garbage time period. Fuck the 90s.
Bollocks.
So Dave is going to be on our show next week. Might be a little bit upset.
We'll see.
FYFC Studios, that's super tough because late 80s had a bunch of great ones, but that was leading to the boom of the 90s. I got to go 90s.
Bing.
Mackenzie Lambert said 80s, no doubt. Escape from New York, Strike Commando. Of course, Gidget Von LaRue said the 80s as well.
Well, sure.
Her podcast is called The Retro Cinema.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So podcast, that's why she's there. Movie Mayhem, 80s all the way. Lillian Sue said 90s action flicks for the win, definitely. World-class bullshit said have to win with the 80s. So many good movies. And last but not least, Michael Morrison said 80s, hands down. The Schwarzenegger movies alone could carry that decade, not to mention Stallone, Kurt Russell, Mel Gibson, and Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, really? Okay.
I just read them like they're presented. Okay. I try not to judge. That's your job.
You judge like a motherfucker. What are you talking about, Willis? All right.
Well, there it is. We have crowned the 90s as the winner, and it sounds like most of our listeners will be upset.
Yeah, I know. There's a very big fucking shift towards the 80s there, but, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this result.
You're uncomfortable?
I am comfortable
You're
with this
uncomfortable?
Result.
I'm far less comfortable.
I understand. Think we should
revisit this with a guest three co-hosts and try to overrule your ridiculous
90s. Idea. It's a horseshit idea.
Maybe 100 episodes.
It'll never fly.
All right, Wayne, how do our listeners get in contact with us?
Search for us on Facebook by searching for The Countdown name or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you're on Facebook, please consider joining our listener community, which you can find from our main page or just by searching
The Countdown. I'm on that shit, by the way. Once you asked to be added, I'll check you out and add you if you're not a fucking bot.
If you're not a bot. And if you're a bot, you're not listening. So
that's right.
You'll be added.
That's right. A lot of these bots are fucking terrorists, man. I'm like seeing a lot of shit on there. Ugh, you're not getting on the group. Bang. You're out.
Okay, just going to go with what you've said there and move straight along. We are on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. We are on Apple Podcasts, and please consider subscribing to the show, leaving a rating and a review. We need some 5-star reviews to continue to move up the list of TV and film podcasts, don't we, Wayne?
They know why we need them. Yes, we do. So, you know, all appreciated, but really I just want you to listen. I want you to listen.
Yeah, listening is the most important thing. We host our episodes on Podomatic, where you can join up there and follow the show and like individual episodes. And we're on pretty much every other podcatching app.
They'll find us.
All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 119 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast?
We are going to review Spider-Man Homecoming.
That is correct. By the time this is out, you've already seen the episode.
That's right. At this stage, I have not seen it, and I'm massively just fucking looking forward to the shit out of it, okay? I don't know what I'm going to do on the red carpet, by the way. I might do a stunt. We'll just see.
Yeah, make sure you wear your t-shirt out there, prouder than
that won't go with what I'll be wearing. But okay, we'll work it out.
Wear a suit with a t-shirt underneath. Yeah. You're going to be like,
because it's the fucking 90s, right?
Leather jacket, cool.
Leather jacket, cool. Fantastic. Yes, that's what we're doing, and we're also going to have a guest host.
We are Dave from the Super Movie Bros podcast, one of our Movie Pod Squad Network compatriots.
Mm-hmm.
Very much looking forward to having his take on the show. He's a huge comic book geek.
Excellent.
Yeah, so he will be absolutely able to match you, Wayne, in that department.
No doubt.
And we're going to be counting down the top 10
revenge films.
That's right. So we think there's a little bit of an element of revenge, but really we just want to do this countdown, and it's going to be a lot of fun to have Dave on to do it. So any film where the theme of revenge is prominent. Well, that's it for this episode of The Countdown. It's been a short but very, very sweet one. The 90s action films are triumphant. Wayne, how do you feel about that?
I feel fucking fantastic, prick.
Ask an innocent question, and that's what you get back in return. It's just
inconceivable.
It really, really
Wow,
is.
You worked hard to get there on that one. Ooh, damn.
You seem a decent fellow.
This is a piece of shit.
I hate to kill you.
Fuck y'all. But thank you for listening, folks. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul.
See you soon.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck the Cocaine
soundboard. Is a hell of a drug.
Suck my dick, suck my dick.
See you next week. big show, Wayne. What are we doing?
Today we are going to... What are we doing? Hang on, cunt. Oh, yes. Today... I don't know if we want to leave that in.
You know what we're doing? Fucking two seconds after we started.
No, I was looking at some other shit, and the motherfucker's baked, obviously. So shit, you know, it's out. Are you using this?
Yes.
Are you? Oh shit!
This
all right.
It's called blooper.
Well, okay, fine. But before we get there, let's just count down. Sorry, fucking cunt, slut. Sorry. Okay. cough.
That is as bad as referring to yourself in the third person, stating what you're doing.
No, I think it's like when you, it's like the Mork and Mindy thing where you say the stage direction. You're like, oh, looks awkwardly, you know. Okay, so what are we gonna do now? The countdown? Sorry, the recount?
Yes.
Sorry, cunt.
You can't even get that right.
I don't fucking know, you fuckity fuck fuck. Shitty ass, titty ass motherfucker. Okay.
This is what I have to deal with on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, because...
And it's multiplied by two because now Wayne's more stoned from the last episode. Because we're doing back-to-back.
And I'm hoping Paul gets more fucking finger-banged by this beer he's drinking. What's this one called? Fire Jizz?
It's Fire Rock Pale Ale.
Okay, Pale Jizz.
From the Kona Brewing Company.
What are you, Nick? Fuck off. Who cares?
How do you feel about that, by the way?
Here's how I feel about it. This thing happened with Edgar Wright on fucking...
Ant-Man.
Peyton Reed on Ant-Man, but on the last fucking Star Wars movie, the Rogue One. Edgar Wright was kicked off it, and it was finished by some other crackers.
Not Edgar Wright.
It was Edgar Wright, you cunt.
It's Gareth Edwards.
Hang on.
Edgar Wright had nothing to do with Star Wars. Allow me to fill for time, and let me just preempt Wayne's now. Oops, sorry, with...
Boo! Boo! Rubbish, filth, slime, muck, foo!
All right, you fucking cunt. It's too long.
Yes, my cock is, but continue. Oh,
Jesus Christ. All right. Obviously, we're not using any of that.
Oh, yes, we are.
Are we using all of that? All right, you're a fucking dickhead. All right, fuck you. Well, no, this fucks the whole thing up now, man.
Maybe a blooper. We'll see how I feel.
Oh, fuck you.
Guys, want to finish up today by telling you about the two networks that we're a part of, and to do so, would love Wayne to accompany me on guitar.
All right, let's give it a go here. Here we go.
The first of which is the Word Salad's production network at www.patreon.com/wordsalad, where we, along with the quote-unquote guilty podcast, Cadavercast, and Dealing with Philip, are a group that are trying to support one another, and you can support us by this month contributing, and you will go into the draw to choose a countdown that Wayne and I will do on a future episode. Our other network that we are hugely proud to be a part of is the Movie Pod Squad Network, where, along with a number of other great shows, including More Gooder Than, The Epic Film Guys, and Super Movie Bros, we bring you different content about films. And that's www.patreon.com/MPSN. Please check both of these out and contribute if you can.
For more shows like this, visit MoviePodSquad.com.